Blog Talk Radio.
There we go. One of these days, I'll get that all the way shut up, I think. So welcome, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us tonight, whatever nation in the world you're listening from, whether you're live with us or you listen in the future. We're glad to have you with us. We're glad to see that the hand of God's blessing is continually on your life. Thank God that you're out here chasing the things of God and listening to a man of God. I'm glad you're listening to me, but if you don't listen to me forever, that's all right. You stay connected with the body of Christ and find a way to get your, as my pastor would say, get your nose in the book so that you can have the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. I tell you what, God is doing something so much bigger than any man has any ability to understand. And it doesn't matter what some dumb politician thinks he can do, or some fake medical person in the CDC. That don't matter what them people say. It does not matter. What matters is what this holy book, the holy word of God says, and that's what you and I live by every single day of our life. And in that, we find the blessing of Almighty God in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Pray that all of you mothers had a great Mother's Day and all your kids got in contact with you, helped you know they love you. May God bless you and bless your children. And I'm going to say this again. I said it on Mother's Day. I've said it many times, but I'm going to say it again. Remember, Mom, you have the greatest voice of authority in your children's life. Now, they may not want you to say a word out loud to them, but that's not what that's talking about, having the greatest authority. You have the greatest authority in the realm of the Spirit. What does that mean, Pastor? That means what your words say in the realm of the Spirit has authority like none other, because you carried them in your womb. You prayed over them. You spoke the will of God over them. There ain't nobody on the face of the earth that's thought more thoughts about your children than you. And in the realm of the Spirit, you have authority over those children and grandchildren, not to control them, not to manipulate them, not to force them to do something. That your words, the enemy must listen and obey the word of God if you're speaking his word. So speak it boldly in prayer and declare over your children every single day. Declare over your children the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, adds no sorrow with it. You speak over them their walk with God. You speak over them infallible proofs. And you watch God do a mighty work inside your family's life and your children's life. Like they may not even know it's coming. But here's the reality. And here's the revelation. God listened to that prayer of a mama. Luke chapter 1, it says, Mary told these things and pondered them in her heart. And you, as a mama or a dad, either one of you, but you didn't carry the baby. If you was dad, I sure hope you didn't. No, I know you didn't. And you and I know that God hears your voice as a mama. Well, let's get right to our prayer time and honoring the United States of America. I'm going to, tonight as we get started, I'm going to show us our mission statement again. Why? It's all right. Maybe that's what I have to do. Go like that. All right. I'm going to show us our mission statement again. Well, it worked. Here we go. I don't know, quite a while back now, I was praying one day, and Holy Spirit told me to get out a piece of paper and write all of this out. And so I took a picture of it so you could see it. Actually, you can tell that's not my writing. That's Sister Leanne's writing. If I had written it, it would look like a man wrote it. You know, more authority, more force. That's a joke. I hope you all could tell that was a joke. But anyways, this is what God sees about you and me and what we are to be on this earth, the community of faith. Verse on the left, read it right out loud with me if you want to. This is the victory that overcomes this world, our faith. 1 John 5:4. Verse on the other side, Hebrews 11:6. He, God, is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In the middle, who we are, an international family of mountain-moving believers, a growing community of faith. This is who we are. We have gathered together to study and believe the word for what it actually says, and to be free of religiosity and live by faith. We've established a power grid of prayer for the United States of America and the body of Christ around the world and 37 nations, like I said to you tonight, that we are influencing in one way or another in our voice that you and I are a part of. The processes we use, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Blog Talk Radio, our confession, the website. Whoops. No. Let's go back. There we go. All right. Our mission statement, number one, effectively meeting people's needs and propelling them to their eternal destiny. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, that means whatever you need, when you come here, this is a healing room, a victory room, a deliverance room, and you stick with us, we stick with you, and that deliverance happens right here. Number two, we're learning to walk in the righteousness of God, producing the joy of being one with the Father. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus helps us be one with the Father. Number three, preach the gospel of the kingdom, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and you too. And the Bible says he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now, number four, bringing the greatest breakthrough in life to everyone who meets us. I love the fact that you and I have the ability to look at people and say, we have the answer that you need. We have the answer that you need. Not me, Sam Cobble. We, the community of faith, with our nose in this book, have the answer that everybody needs. Ask the questions, study the word, study to show yourself approved unto God. Number five, demonstrate that all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Number six, help every believer move from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from grace to grace, That's what you and I are doing. We're going from where we are to the next level, and then the next level. And then number seven, help every believer find their place and function in their grace. Let's do our 2022 theme of the year. Here we go. Everybody, when you're at home, do what I do. You boldly proclaim it. Sometimes we have our mics all talking at the same time during our confession time. That's not the best time to do that. But say it boldly, whether you have your mic on or not. Ready? 2022, I am rewarding you. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. You will see many answers that come to you quickly. I am the God of answers and the God of the immediately. Our verses for the year, Revelation 22, 12 through 14. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And now, May's verses of the month. As I sat down to prepare the verse of the month for May, I kept getting this verse, and then I'd get another one. I'm like, well, now wait, Father, which one of these is it? But I want you to see what he's saying to us this month. God loves to reward his people, his family, openly. Here we go. All out of Matthew 6. When we bless the needy, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Right out of the Bible. When praying to the Father, verse 6, when you pray, go into your room. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly in seasons of fasting. Verse 18, do not make an appearance to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, I've added the italicized word for the effect to show what it is the Father's saying to us this month. Our Father, say it, my Father, who sees what I do in secret, is rewarding me openly. Now, I could tell somebody here tonight was like, uh-oh, I don't want anybody else to see what I'm doing in secret. I don't want to be rewarded openly for what I'm doing in secret. Well, let me encourage you then. What you've got to do in that situation is you've got to come to the understanding of the righteousness of God. Because when you understand the righteousness of God and that Jesus gave you his righteousness to live by, you'll never be bound by wickedness another day. But it's not three verses that I tell you and you hear it and you say, oh, well, there. All right. I'm sure glad Pastor got it. No, you have to sit down with the Word of God and study it enough specifically, bulldoggedly, till you say, well, wait a minute, I got it. Here we go. Rise together with me, and we'll make our pledge of allegiance and pray over the United States of America like we do every time we come here. Render your honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who paid the last full measure of devotion, those, like some of your relatives, who today bear the scars of combat in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. Moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who today, somewhere, stood in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. Please stand respectfully, if at all possible. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, join with me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. And now, let's pray our opening prayer together. These prayers that we're praying and statements we're making is so that all of us can speak them together in unity and agreement, just like we were sitting together in a church service inside of a church building. Here we go. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ, filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. And now we speak this every time we come together. The commanded blessing of unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. And you'll notice, as you and I dwell together in unity, it makes a beautiful experience right here in this setting, in this situation. And we stand in faith with each other. We pray for each other. We speak together a prayer of agreement. God said through David, it is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. And you know, in our Read the Word program that we do after this one, where we're reading through the Bible chronologically, in one day, one of the days, this was the only psalm that they gave that day, was these three verses. And it was right after the point where it says that all of Israel gathered themselves together to David and made him king, all Israel and Judah. Now, what is that saying? As they gathered together in unity, that special anointing of God came down upon them and brought great deliverance in the mighty name of Jesus. All right. Let's go to the next screen here. What happened? Ephesians 4:4. This is where you and I, the body of Christ, understand our place in this earth. Say it with me. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. Look at what this says. And in us all. The Father is in us all. Verse 7. But to each one of us, singularly, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift that's on the inside of us. Say it, I have a gift, and I am bringing it to this kingdom in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Phyllis, for your help tonight. Any of you that can help us put verses in, Sister Leanne is still out driving Dash, and so she won't be here this evening to do that. Verse 11, and Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What did he give them to us for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of Christ. I think one of the powers of what happens here in the community of faith is anytime someone shows up and has a prayer request, which usually means a need in their life. Every one of us here have been built up and established in the Word of God, and we've been speaking Ephesians 3:19 over us, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Every one of us can say a prayer of faith for that person's life to be delivered from the enemy's attack and to be filled with life more abundantly. Bind the devil and loose the life abundantly in their lives. And I'm proud of every one of you, how you help us get that done, so that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies. Say it with me. I am a joint. I am bringing a supply tonight. Think about it. Everybody pause. You might be coming tonight saying, man, I'm just getting an understanding. I don't know what kind of a supply I can bring. Isn't it something that God said, not only are you bringing a supply, but in that supply, you also grow. What is it? He's given you seed to sow so that you can get a harvest while you're learning the word and being established in the things of God. Your faith with us is a seed you sow, and harvest begins to happen down the road. Every day you're here, another seed you sow, another harvest you reap. Every day you're here, another seed you sow, another harvest you reap. All of a sudden, you have all these fields of harvest that are being reaped in your life, of good seed sown, of faith seed sown. Therefore, miracles are happening, and all of a sudden, you start living in an overflow situation. All these blessings come up on you and overtake you. Why? Because you are a joint that is supplying, and you're bringing it in faith. And it's a blessing. Verse 16 again. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And then our confession, I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers. Use me today to be a blessing to others. And now we join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation. And we declare, God bless America. God bless America. The Patriot Prayer of Dedication. This comes from the Gettysburg Address. I have said this almost every day since, I'm not sure, 2007 or 8, almost every day. It is my declaration every day, putting my faith with Abraham Lincoln's and every great patriot since then, that the families of the fallen will not have lost their fallen in vain. Doesn't matter what nation you're from around the world. As we pray this, you pray it over your nation. You thank God for those in your nation who have given their life for freedom. You thank God for those who today are putting their life on the line, maybe not in a combat situation, but standing in the face of evil and tyranny in your nation, and bless them today in Jesus' mighty name. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Does everybody want to do one more act of combat? Let's take on the isms. I don't usually do this at night. Whoops, hang on. There it is. In the name, high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power, might, and dominion, in the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind all of the effects of the isms, atheism, secular humanism, communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, racism, and all isms. Say it boldly. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, which is our strength. Righteousness exalts this nation. God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you. Not our rifles and not our Bibles. You may think we've been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. We declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. Every pit you have dug for the United States of America to fall into. You fall into yourself and are destroyed immediately. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Psalm 144, our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. Huh. These are the walls we are rebuilding, the walls of righteousness. My, my, my. I just
agreed. Amen.
Agreed. Amen, brother. I just saw right there when I said that, when we said that about the walls of righteousness, I just saw, let me write this down. Every illegal who crosses our border where there is no wall, they're crossing the border so that they can find our Jesus. And we claim every one of them for the gospel of Jesus Christ and every one of their family members, no matter what state they live in, no matter what kind of anything they're in, we declare you crossed over our border illegally, and so you're either going to be incarcerated or you're going to be delivered and set free in Jesus' mighty name, because there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are building, the walls of righteousness. So I'll put together another screen and add it to that declaration. Now, was there any prayer request that I couldn't see? Because when I'm doing the confession, I can't see the prayer request. Anybody see a request there anywhere?
My knees are making bad noises, make clicking noise.
Your knees, all right. Mary, Pastor Rick said, I am being spiritually attacked. Too many darts from all directions. Praying no more bumps in the road, getting my property on the market. Amen. Praying for my family's health in Jesus' name. All right. I'm just scanning. I got to go. I'm not feeling good tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, tonight, we speak your word over our brothers and sisters who are here tonight. Sister Mary Pastorex praying, ask us to pray. Got a continual barrage of spiritual attack against her. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it in Mary's, Pastor Rick's life. We declare a complete understanding comes to Mary so she can see it and done. And see the next step you have and the next place you're taking them, Lord. We declare the eyes of her understanding are flooded with enlightenment to see it, to know it, and to understand it. And we declare for breakthrough in every part of this, Lord, so this property gets to the market and gets sold now while the values and the prices are high, and she gets every penny that it's worth right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak over Sunday in her physical body. In the name of Jesus, we bind, and Brother Roger and his knees, Sister Donna, I declare over this body of Christ tonight that there is supernatural Thank you very much for reconnecting us. We enjoy being here. Now, I declare once again that every penny that belongs to Mary and Don comes to them. Every one of you hook up to this one. Watch this. I declare anybody that owes you money, every one of you who have large amounts of money that are owed to you from previous situations, I declare that money comes to you now. I need your faith to hook with my faith and say this. Restore to me, Lord.
Restore to me, Lord.
Everything the enemy has tried to steal. See, everything the enemy has tried to steal. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, the devil wasn't trying to steal from me. That was Billy Bob over there around the corner. Well, it's not Billy Bob that's stealing it, guys. Billy Bob is just the human element. It's the enemy who's trying to force you to live in lack, force you to live in poverty, force you to not have God's blessing in your life. And remember this, every time the devil wants to stop you, he brings you a person. Every time God wants to bless you, he brings you a person. The enemy brings a person that will distract you or just totally take you away. God brings you a person that'll bring you to his presence and to his word every single time. So when you have had things stolen, that's because a person came, got involved in your life that was going to steal from you, and that wasn't brought to you by the enemy. In the courtrooms of heaven, every day, make a legal demand before our God and Father, who is the greatest judge of all the earth, and declare this. I declare everything that has ever been stolen from me, Father, restore to me the years the locusts have eaten and every penny worth of money that goes with it. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And then, in honor of our Father's restoration, make your legal demand. I make a demand 7 times and double for the shame. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Now, remember, when the thief is caught stealing, it doesn't even matter that it's 400 years old. It doesn't matter that it's 400 years old. The children of Israel received 400 years of back wages in one night. 400 years of back wages in one night because God got involved and they said, Lord, deliver us. And God said, all right, I will. And as you go, you're going to plunder these people. And I like that. Why? Because that's God's plan. There's a bunch of Christians that would say, well, Pastor, that's just not God that he would ever plunder anybody. Oh, yeah. God has plundered his enemies since time began. When the enemies decided to stand and try to destroy his people, God plundered them people, and God wiped them out very, very, very specifically. Very specifically, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us tonight. If I got what I thought I was worth, I'd be set for a good minute. Amen. Now, this is what we know. Our prayers spoken in faith destroy the devil. Doesn't do you any good to call him names. Doesn't do you any good to scream and holler. And when you're going to speak to the devil, you say the name of Jesus, because at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, tonight, we're going to be talking about several different subjects. And I want you and I to kind of mix about three teachings and put it into one tonight. Now, that to you might sound like, well, what is that all about? And God is going to help you and me hit three different subjects all in one night. Now, I like that. I don't know that I've ever tried to get this much accomplished in one night. And you guys have been around me, and we've gotten a lot accomplished in one night and hammered the word of God on it. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to go with me to three different sets of verses. Genesis chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 1, and Joel chapter 2. Look at Phyllis. Oh boy, this is going to be a good 4 hours.
At least.
Brother Roger, Phyllis is in agreement with you. I'll say it again, Rebecca. Thank you for your help. Brother Dan, Sister Sunday, all of you that are helping us. Genesis chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 1. And Joel chapter 2. Now, that's going to get us started. That'll get us a good start. And then we'll go from there. Well, I'm missing something. What am I missing here? There. Not missing it anymore. I just got to get all y'all in the right place on the screen. Very good. Thank you, Rebecca. Now, hold your Bibles up. We'll make our confession like we do every time we come here. Here we go. This is our faith confession. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am, because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return in my spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. And we're going to go down to verses 20 through 22. Genesis 8, 20 through 22. All right, here we go. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal, every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar and smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Verse 22, as long as the earth remains, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. As long as the earth remains, those laws will be in effect. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night. Those are established. Now, tonight's session is titled, We Speak the Wisdom of God in a Mystery. Ah, Sister Audrey, welcome. Good to have you with us tonight. Bless you, ma'am. Anybody else that we may have missed, make sure you click like or love. And that gives us the ability to see who's here. And then we pray for you by name when the program is finished every time. So we're talking about the wisdom of God. But while we were praying and making our confession tonight, I heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you to speak not only about the wisdom of God, but I want you to speak about harvest and the Jubilee, which is the harvest. Now, go with me next to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. I'm just going to read this whole chapter, and that's what we do around here. You might say, Pastor, just give us the one verse. Well, yeah, but just giving you one verse doesn't give us all that God wants us to have, because God's about more than giving you a verse and making you feel good tonight. God is about changing your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what our God is about. Hold on there. Zoom. There we go. And there. Now, Proverbs chapter 1. So in Genesis, we see at the beginning of time, after the flood, God said, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, this is not going to cease their laws. Proverbs chapter 1, this is about wisdom. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of King David of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, of justice, of judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Brother Michael, you're one of our young men. To you tonight, knowledge, and not only knowledge, but discretion, the ability to use the knowledge effectively and in the right place. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. I remember the session of Andy Griffith, where Barney was acting like he could remember the Gettysburg Address. And he said to Andy, I've been thinking lately. And Andy said, it's good for the head. That's what it says. A wise man will increase in learning. It's good for the head. Verse 6, don't worry about that. to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 8, my son, hear the instructions of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Now that was supposed to be, ornaments and chains was supposed to be jewelry, because wisdom has blessed you. If your mom and dad were mean and hateful, they were not of God, then I have a word for you. Don't value that wisdom that they gave you. It is not a wisdom that is from above. And it's very important that you learn to decipher. Wait, that was the words of mom and dad. This is the wisdom of God. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us and let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us secretly for the innocent without a cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us and let us all have one purse. Verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Do not go with them. Don't go one step. It doesn't matter if they're your friends, quote unquote friends. Anybody who acts like that is not a friend. They're a wicked person. And even though they may go to hell, that's not on your case. And remember what Paul said, evil opinion corrupt even good behavior. Because if they're evil and they have no desire for good, they will always overcome your good because they have no desire for it. Your good can overcome any kind of evil in the heart or the life of a person who wants to be delivered from evil. But if they want it, you don't have power over it. You can't make somebody change and want God. No matter how much you love them and no matter how much you want them to, stop trying. If you put a bow, if you dress up a pig and put a bow around its neck, it's only going to cause you a whole lot of work and frustrate the pig. Why? Because they're not going to change. They want it. And when they want it, it doesn't matter what you say. You won't make them not want it. They have to be like the prodigal. Bang their head against the wall. Get their nose in the slop and say, hold it. I better turn from my ways. Keep reading. Verse 15 again. My son, do not walk in the path with them. Keep your foot from that path. For their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain, takes away the life of the owner. Now, that's a dismal picture. But we're going to start with verse 20. And this is where wisdom comes in. Wisdom is seen as a she. All right, watch. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. I want you to think about it. Wisdom, I mean, David didn't have semis and buses and jets flying over in a helicopter, landing at the hospital. They didn't have taxis and garbage trucks and cool sounding motorcycles. And yet in the hustle and the bustle, watch what Solomon wrote here. This is what wisdom says. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Wisdom is given a rebuke. Surely I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and you did not regard it. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebukes, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. You will call on me. I will not answer you. You'll seek me diligently, but you won't find me, because they hated knowledge. Fools hate knowledge. They're very religious, but they hate growing in knowledge. They want to be like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They want to stand in the open square and have everybody see them. Look what it says. Because you hated knowledge, verse 29, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Whoever listens to me, wisdom, will dwell safely and will be secure without the fear of evil. You know, many times in our lives, I would imagine just about every time you and I are here, the Holy Spirit is always the number one welcome guest here. No, the number one welcome teacher in this time. And I would imagine that almost every day when you first start coming, the religious ways and the ways of man's wisdom in your soulish realm, you by a coach, a teacher, your mom, your dad, somebody, those ways are being challenged by what I'm teaching. Our challenge, your challenge and mine, is when the Holy Spirit says this, and you're like, wow, that's really true, that you don't listen to the next thought, which says, yeah, but not really this way. Because that yeah, but is going to come from the voice of our enemy. And you might say, Pastor, what's the enemy doing in my house? I don't know. Let's set up the standards to drive that enemy out. Number one, if you're a tither, the Father rebukes the devourer. Number two, if you're underneath the blood of Jesus and his righteousness, you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That means this house should be covered by and filled with the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus. And there is no demonic spirit allowed in my house. Can I get amen from anybody? Even the big amen from Roger.
The great amen.
The great amen. Amen, brother. Love you.
Love you too.
Now watch. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, nobody can take your house and make it free from the enemy's stuff but you. If you are bringing into your house hatred and anger and strife and division and divorce and homosexuality and all that kind of perversion I just mentioned through the TV, you cannot wonder why stuff happens. I'm not a clothesline preacher. I'm not here to tell anybody what to watch or what not to watch. I'm just telling you, when you can look at the enemy and say, wait a minute, my house, my room, my life is free from the devil, and I'm not chasing any of that stuff, then that enemy has to stay outside those windows, and it cannot get in this house. Big amen. Amen, Mary, Rebecca, Sister Phyllis. Now think about this. The complacency of fools will destroy them. Our Father wants to do good things for his children. And yet religion continually is trying to tell you that that's just greed. And you shouldn't want God to bless you that way. Now, I was just going to stay in Proverbs chapter 1 tonight, but I am very, very much instructed to go and deal with this next part of this teaching, which matches our theme of the year. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. So, here we go. Go with me to Luke chapter 17, I believe, or Luke chapter, it's actually chapter 11, not 17. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. Now, there's always in this world a voice that wants you to stop you from being blessed. It's going to be that voice. It doesn't matter how far in the kingdom you go, how big and amazing you're going to be blessed. It doesn't matter. This kingdom operates by seed time and harvest and by faith. Everything God ever is going to tell you to do, it's going to take faith to get it done. Some people are continually saying, well, if I can just get enough money in the bank, then I don't have to live by faith. I can live by the money in the bank. Well, everything in the kingdom takes faith. Paul said, if it's not of faith, it's sin. Woo! Somebody say it with me. I choose to be of faith then. I choose to be of faith. Now, here we go. Luke 11, 9 through 13. I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. And the door will be opened. Julian and Bamala, welcome, guys. Love you. We love you, Julian and Bamala. Good early morning to Julian and Bamala all the way in Malaysia. Everybody give a big group hug to Julian and Bamala. I saw their heart go up. I just happened to look that direction and saw the heart. Here we go. I'm back in Luke 11. Watch this. Ask and it will be given you. Not maybe. Seek and you will find. Not maybe. Knock and the door will be open. Not maybe. Now, you got to realize this is Jesus the Christ speaking these words. This is Brother Luke, the beloved physician, who wasn't even one of the apostles, writing it. And this is the Holy Spirit that's behind it all, being led by the Father, helping Jesus know what to say and do. And you and I got to receive these verses no matter what religion or religiosity has ever said to you about being broke, busted, and disgusted and all the glory that's in it. God don't want you broke. And God don't want you in fear. And God don't want you in lack. And God doesn't want you in sickness. Keep reading. Everyone who asks, receives. He that seeks, finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from his father, will he give him a stone? No. You know, right here tonight, we have Brother Dave and Sister Kathy. His mom is on here. If Dave asks his mom for a loaf of bread, she's not going to say, well, I got some gravel out here in the yard. Dave, go get that. Sister Francette is here. Brother Michael's here. Sister Francette's grandma. All right. She ain't going to give him a box of rocks and say, chew on that a while, boy. No, she's going to find him some bread and peanut butter, jelly, honey, whatever it is. Look at 13. If you then, being evil or a human, know how to give good gifts to your children, and every one of us want our children to have good, we want to be able to give our children good gifts. How much more will your Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit the best gift ever to those who ask him. In this year, I can tell there's an opposition to this theme for the year. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with you. People are like, you're serving God for a reward. Well, yes, I am. There's a reward waiting for me over in heaven. There's a reward in heaven. There's an account in heaven with my name on it that's filled with abundance for this day so you and I can go preach the gospel. And even though I don't have all the understanding how to make that money manifest, guarantee you I'm on the attack for it. What? He promised me a hundredfold return. He said it's because I give willingly to take care of people like you in the community of faith. And then he said it's for this day to help us go preach more gospel. Well, I want to reach more people. As Brother Roger keeps saying, I want to reach every nation in the world, all 200 of them. I want to see all of your family reach. I want to reach the small children. I want to reach the youth. I want to reach the 20s and the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. I want you and I to be able to reach them all, and that takes somebody in this process helping us get it done. He will not force you to be healthy if you choose to make yourself sick. He is more anxious. He is more to make you healthy than you are to ask him to heal you. He's more anxious, probably more willing than he actually is for you to heal him. Now, I want you to go with me next to Joel chapter 2. This is a good word tonight. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, just in case you didn't know where Joel was. If you have a good Bible, it is on page 1176. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
I love the word. Brother Ripley, shout, I love the word. No, I'm just sleeping, Dad.
I love the word.
I love the word of God. Watch this. This is a good word. The children of Israel have been in captivity. And at the beginning of this, the word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. And he said, prophesy. So Joel's prophesying. We're going to go over here to Joel chapter 2, and we're going to go down to 20. Let's see. Well, let's put down there for a reference point, 10 through 32. Joel 2, 18 through 32. I want you to see God talking about blessing and harvest. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Rebecca. Love you guys. Appreciate your help tonight. Joel 2:18. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. Have compassion. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain, new wine, and oil. Now see, guys, that's not just barley. That's grain, new wine, and oil. And you'll be satisfied by them. And I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. When they lacked, an experienced lack, that was considered a reproach. When people say you should just barely make it, that's a reproach in the nation. Watch what God says. I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive them back. Verse 21, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Verse 23, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. He will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain. Look at this says, the threshing floors will be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine. That's abundance. This is how much abundance God wants you and I to live in every day. Not only spiritually, not only in your mind, but in your physical body and in your ability to have. He even says that you'll have double possessions because the enemy tried to steal. Keep reading. Verse 25, I'll restore to you the years. I will restore to you the years the locusts have stolen. Have you had an enemy continually binding you, stealing your stuff, stealing your money, $5,000, $7,000, $10,000 at a time? God is telling you, I will restore the years. The children of Israel went to Egypt and became a mighty nation. And Pharaoh saw it and said, we better put these people in slavery right now because they will be greater than us. 400 years later, when Israel got tired of being slaves, God showed up and plundered Egypt and wiped out that whole nation for his children. In one night, they got 400 years of back wages in one night. Keep reading. 26, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. What's it going to do? It's going to cause you to praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. You will know that I'm in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Two times, one chapter, God makes a declaration, my people shall never be put to shame. Isaiah chapter 61. Keep it going, because we've got to get these verses in tonight. God will not force you to be healthy. Amen, fellas. I'm actually able to see most of everybody's comments tonight. How cool is that? Isaiah 61, verse 6 and 7 and 8. Isaiah 61, 6, 7 and 8. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentile, and in their glory you shall boast the riches of the Gentile. Verse 7, look at this verse. We just read it in Joel. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. He turns our darkness into light. He turns our mourning into dancing. He turns our sin into righteousness. He turns our fear into faith. He turns darkness into light. And he says right here, instead of shame, you will have double honor. Instead of confusion, you will rejoice in your portion. You'll know what belongs to you, and you will rejoice in it. In your land, you will possess double. Keep reading. And that will make everlasting joy come to your life. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. I will direct your ways, your work, and truth. And I will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, their offspring among the people. All who see them will acknowledge these are the children the Lord has blessed. Now, Leviticus 25. And let's go We're going to read verses 1 1 through 22. Leviticus 25, 1 through 22. Got some good reading to do tonight. This is all about wisdom and the blessing of God, and our theme for this year, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Now, what I'm getting ready to read is about the Sabbath, the seventh year, and then the year of Jubilee. Now, watch what God says here. The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Zion, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your fields. 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. What grows of its own accord of your harvest, you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is a year of rest for the land. Well, I just got a question for you. In the day that these people lived, that's what they gave their whole life to, is tilling the land, putting the stuff in the ground, and then taking good care of it and harvesting it. That was their whole life. What did these people do for a year? And why in the world did God say such a crazy thing like this? No, see, God is a God of abundance. God gave Adam and Eve an earth that was perfect. They had to do nothing, just live. Eat what they wanted to eat. There was no sin. There was no mean boss, bad mom, bad dad. They had no bad relationships. There was nothing. They lived in great opulence in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says there was gold and there was jasper and there was the precious stones laying right on top of the ground. And they were righteous. They were naked, did not even understand they were righteous. They were clothed in the glory of the Lord. Verse 6. And the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you, for your male and female servants, your hired men, and the stranger who dwells with you, for your livestock and the beasts that are in your field. All its produce shall be for your food. Eight, you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself. 7 times 7 years, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. So the 7th Sabbath would be 49, 7 times 7. Verse 9. Then you shall cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year, the Day of Atonement, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. Verse 11, that 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. In it, you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of the years after the Jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor, and according to the number of years of crops, he shall sell to you. According to the multitude of years, you shall increase its price, and according to the fewer number of years, you shall diminish its price. For he sells to you according to the number of the years of the crop. Therefore, you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. What are we reading tonight, Pastor? We're reading this. Think about this fact. So they grew a harvest and reaped it in the 6th year, but there was no planting in the 7th year. And the harvest was so good in the 6th year that they didn't have to worry about the 7th year. But now in the 49th year, you don't plant. And in the 50th year, you don't plant. And in the 51st year, you plant. But you don't harvest for 6 months. Or 3 months, whatever it is. So in that 48th year, God made so much abundance come that they were taken care of. Now, I want you to understand this. And they did no work in the 49th and 50th year. Now, how in this world did God do that? Except he's God. And he rained manna from heaven. He can make your corn grow in the bin. The cruse of oil didn't fail. The barrel of meal did not go dry. Their shoes did not wear out. What am I saying to you and I tonight? Let's use our faith. It's like Sister Gloria said, doesn't matter about your job or where you live. It's what you do with your faith. Let's learn to take these verses from the Bible, use them like a wrench, and get our faith going, because in your 49th and 50th year, you're supposed to party for 2 years straight. I'm 9 years late. Forty-nine and 50 is supposed to be good years, years of party, not years of, oh, the black cloud and you're over the hill. No, no, it's years of partying. Let's keep reading. I'm in Leviticus 25:18. What is it? What is God establishing here tonight? Again, helping us see. He is the God of abundance. Jesus' first miracle was not salvation. Jesus' first miracle was not healing. Jesus' first miracle was a miracle of luxury. There's no other reason for it. They had already been drinking and drank up all the wine. That means the wedding party had been going for a while, and Jesus had every reason to say to them, y'all drank enough, go home. But see, their wedding celebrations lasted for a whole week. And yet, Jesus' first miracle recorded in this Bible was a miracle of luxury. What else is it? The wedding, there would be no shame on that man. And Jesus turned the water into wine. Nobody got saved. Nobody got healed. Nobody had a demon cast out of him. His first miracle was a miracle of luxury. Guys, he didn't put two bottles of wine on the table for him. He made 180 gallons of the finest wine. That means from water to planting a vineyard, harvesting, squishing the grapes, putting it in vintage, all of that was in a matter of 1 minute. Fill it with water and take a cup to him. What's the purpose of what our Father is saying? You and I don't have to live by the Sabbaths and spend every seventh day, you know, every Saturday, and don't drive anywhere, don't do anything. That's not Jesus said. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath for man. And in Hebrews, it says that was a shadow of what's coming. But what it teaches you and I today is that God has the same level, even greater, because we have a better covenant with better promises based in the blood of Jesus. We have a better one than they do. So it should be no big deal to us that we just take 2 years off and just tell the whole family, everybody gather together, we're just going to have 2 years off and have a celebration unto the Lord. What did they do for 2 years if they didn't do the crops? Certainly they milked the cow and, you know, if you had cattle, you had to milk them. But the idea is they didn't do no work in the 49th year and in the 50th year. That's 2 years in a row. And then they planted in the 51st year and didn't get a harvest, and God supplied all of that. Watch what he says. Verse 19, then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and dwell there in safety. And if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year, since we will not sow or gather in our produce? God is about sowing and reaping. I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year, and it will bring forth produce enough for 3 years. The sixth, the seventh, and the eighth. And you shall sow in the eighth year and eat old produce until the ninth year. Until its produce comes in, you shall eat of the old harvest. And then the land will be redeemed, lending to the poor, and all of that. Now, what is God saying to you and I today? behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Well, our verses of the month is, when you do alms to help people, when you go privately and pray your prayers, when you're fasting before the Lord, God said, wait, the Holy Spirit spoke through Jesus the words of the Father that says, your Father will who sees in secret will reward you openly. See, one of our challenges that we face is the spirit of religion said, you got to be broke, busted, and disgusted in order to be a good, solid Christian. You shouldn't have all that stuff. That's just what that is. Our Father is so much in abundance, he commanded them to take 3 years off and have a party. Well, to you, if you were 49 years old, that's pretty cool. You got to have a party, but guess what? Even if you wasn't 49 years old, you were in the 49th year according to that time period. And that time period, that means you had a party. That means you had a party. And it lasted for 3 years. 3 years this lasted. Now, most of us have a problem taking a week off of work. Not no less 3 years, although the Sabbath principle isn't what we must live by every single Sunday, no matter what. No. Paul said, let no man judge you in a new moon, a Sabbath, or a celebration. So don't anybody judge you. And quit judging us. If you believe that Jesus was born on the year on the Day of Atonement, then celebrate his birthday then. But the rest of us are celebrating on the December 25th and saying Jesus is born. Hallelujah. Well, glory be to God. At least peace on earth, goodwill to men is going all over the earth. See, here's our challenge, guys. This whole kingdom works from seed time and harvest. The Father sowed a seed. Jesus, book of Hebrews. Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. Paul called him the first fruits. Jesus is. He's the harvest of the seed the Father sowed when he planted Jesus. And this whole kingdom works from seed time and harvest. The Egyptian system says, go to work for somebody else and make a wage. And that's what you get. God said, no, let me bless your seed and you're going to have a harvest. And in that harvest is going to be so much abundance from each seed you sow that you'll become the masters. You'll become the head. And not the tail. You will be above only and not beneath. When King Solomon dedicated the temple, they literally had a feast that lasted for 30 days. The year of Jubilee was a year when they feasted for 3 years. You might say, Pastor, we don't even know how to do that. And that's what I'm saying. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and me tonight. We've got to force these blinders off our eyes and say, Father, bless us as abundantly as you want to bless us and help us be glad that your blessing is there and help us put it into the kingdom in Jesus' mighty name. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Mary asked, what is the moral of the miracle? Well, I don't know about a miracle. A miracle. I don't know about a moral of the miracle. That's what usually happens when you got some kind of a fable or something. This isn't a fable. This is reality. The miracle was a miracle of luxury. God wanting his people to know, I want to bless abundantly every part of your life. Jesus healed probably hundreds of thousands of people in his 3.5 years. But the first miracle that is recorded in this book is the miracle of luxury. No other reason. Say it. Jesus, bless me with a life of abundance. Some of you can't even make the statement, bless me with a life of luxury, because you believe that word is a wicked word. But I'm going to give it to you right now. If you don't like the word luxury, then you got to use the word blessing. But I'm getting ready to read you what God says blessing is. This is our promise. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we're going to start reading in verse 6, and we're going to read down through verse 18. Deuteronomy 8. Sorry about that, guys. Deuteronomy 8. It's in chapter 6, too. All right. Deuteronomy 8, verse 6. You will keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. This is what the land looks like. A land of brooks, of water, of mountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hill you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes. Lest when you've eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. This is our God. All you have is multiplied. When your heart is lifted up, you forget the Lord your God. Don't do that. How he brought you out of the land of bondage. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness, fiery serpents and scorpions, thirsty lands. There was no water. He brought water out of the flinty rock. He fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, test you, to do you good in the end. Then you say, it's my power and my might of my hand that have gained me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers this day. Oh, I see what you're saying, Mary. Yeah. Well, in order for the miracle to happen, you got to do what he says for you to do. Yeah. But the whole purpose of the miracle, why did Jesus even create the miracle? Why did it even happen? Because nobody was born again, nobody was healed, no demons were cast out. Certainly, it shows us the principle of whatever he says to you, do. Most certainly. You're right on that. I missed what you were saying. But why did that miracle even come to pass? Except for the fact that Jesus was making the wedding feast a good feast. Excuse me. Wow. That's the only reason it was there. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, the Lord, he it is that gives you the power to create wealth. He's the one that gives you that power. And you notice that there's no age limit on it? Why does he give you that ability? So that you, all of your life, can help to establish his covenant on this earth. T.L. Osborne, I forget, was 93 or something when he went to heaven. Oral Roberts was 96 when he went to heaven. Billy Graham was 100 when he went to heaven. Why? These men spent their whole life given to God, using their faith, sowing a seed, expecting a harvest. And that process of faith, sowing a seed, expecting a harvest, reaping it, and put it back in the kingdom, that process made these men younger. The farther they went, stronger. The farther they went. I remember seeing Dr. Oral Roberts tell the story of when he moved away from ORU and he moved to California to retire. And quite naturally, the university said, sir, let us buy you a house and we'll bless you and take care of you for all your years at ORU. He said, it ain't buying me nothing. No man is ever going to take me off my faith. My wife and I are sowing $1,000 seed, and God's going to provide us a good home, and we're not going to have to pay a payment. We're going to pay cash. And he sowed $1,000 seed into the ministry. I don't remember. And in a matter of a short period of time, had a house paid for by his faith. Why? Because that's God's system. Seed, time, and harvest. And that's how God's blessing comes to it. That's how the word of God works in your heart. You sow the seed in the good soil of your heart, and then you work it, and you work it, and you work it, and you work it. And then it begins to produce a harvest. And out of your innermost being flows this abundant harvest of the word. And you speak the word for somebody else now, and they get healed, delivered, set free, transformed by your words, just like somebody else did for you. That is the kingdom of God. Then, just like somebody else made it possible for me to have all this equipment I have, because they sowed a number of years ago, all of you have been blessed in their seed they sowed to get me this equipment that today works wonderfully to do the work of the ministry that you and I are doing right here, right now, today. And what are you and I going to do? You and I are going to gather harvest, sow seed, go farther, do more. Somebody else is going to come, and you're going to partake of a harvest that you didn't sow anything into, and you're going to show up and sow a seed of your faith, of your love, of your time, of your talent, of your treasure. And as you sow that seed and bring your supply, somebody else comes. They've not sowed a seed here. But what do they get? They get the life of faith that you and I are working every day. Next thing you know, they start sowing a seed. And what do they start reaping? A harvest. And they help us preach the gospel. And then somebody else shows up. And then you and I are living a life of absolute abundance of the harvest of Almighty God. That's how this kingdom has worked since the beginning of time. It'll never work any other way but that. And here's the revelation. You are now a part of somebody else's harvest. It was 2014. I was believing God for a new computer. My old computer was running. It was running thin. And I had used it heavy. And I said, Lord, I need to get me an Apple and get to the next level. I went to the internet. I found the very computer that I wanted to have, this one right here in front of me. I said, here it is, Lord. I put my faith on this right now. I am going to see you produce this harvest for me. I sowed some seed. In the matter of about, 3 weeks, I guess it was, a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, called me and said, hey, what are you doing? And I told her. She said, I got a friend who wants to bless somebody, and God told me to call you today. I'm like, really? What's she want to do? She said, well, she loves to help people who help the troops. I said, well, I help the troops. She goes, yes, you do. What do you need? I said, well, Judy, I need a computer. She goes, I'll bet she'd buy that. I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, what do you need? I said, I'll send it to you in a text. Give me 5 minutes. She goes, oh, you already know? I said, I've been praying and asking God for it. She's like, that's amazing. I sent the lady exactly what I was believing for, and in 3 days, I had the check in my hand. I didn't go out begging anybody. I didn't go out saying, my name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. I wasn't standing at Walmart or Target with a sign saying, help me buy a computer. No, I just went to God. I sowed a seed. I used his principle, the same principle of the kingdom. Now watch this. That lady who sowed that seed into this computer, that lady has now accredited in her account in heaven every single soul that this computer has ever preached the gospel to help them find Jesus. And that is multitudes of thousands of people. I did 777 blog talk radio shows with this computer before I ever got to North Dakota. I did a radio program, 52 of them a week for 7 years on our local radio station. I used it in every church service. Every soul that's connected to this seed she sowed for this piece of equipment is now credited in her account in heaven. She's in heaven. I believe she's in heaven. I know the pastor lady is. I think they were about the same age. But anyways, that's how the kingdom works. That's how the kingdom works. Thank God that people like Don Roberts, Brother Higgins, Brother Copeland have shown us this principle all through the history. Don't worry. That's for the blog talk radio folks. And they're not going to go anywhere. Blog talk radio lets it keep going. Now, Mary, I want to deal with what you said again, because I want to make sure I'm answering your question the proper way that you were asking it. Because I'm not sure. I was seeing that if you want a miracle, you do what Jesus says to do, do it. Not that it was a miracle of luxury. No, your statement is very right. When you want a miracle, you do what Jesus said to do, and you're going to receive the miracle. My point of talking about that miracle was, what was the purpose of it? Because that's exactly what it says. In that situation, Mary said, Jesus, they don't have any more wine. And Jesus is like, what's that got to do with me? And Mary went over to the servants and said, listen, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And when you do it, you're going to see a miracle. That's exactly the process, most definitely. Most definitely. So, Mary, did I make any more sense with that to you? I was not in any way saying that was the wrong way. I think you're reading it very correctly. My point was not the process of doing it. My point is, why? What was the whole purpose of this miracle? And yes, in that miracle, whatever he says to you, do it and watch God perform amazing miracles in our lives every day in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I don't know, Mary may have left, gone. I can't tell, but I wanted to make sure I spoke to that again, because in every miracle, there's so much that we can learn. And we have to open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, and say, Lord, help me see. Help me see. And help me know and understand exactly what you're saying in Jesus' mighty name. Kathy Maria, blessed out there in Facebook world. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. He said to Mary, it's not my time. And the Bible doesn't necessarily record just exactly why Jesus went ahead and did it, except that Mary said, if he tells you to do something, do it. And what you and I always say, you and I can see from the New Testament in Jesus' healings, Jesus' miracles he performed everywhere, even to people who it wasn't their time yet. Jesus looked at the Syrophoenician woman and said, ma'am, it ain't your time. Well, he didn't even call her ma'am. He said dog. He called her a dog. It is not your time. And yet she called him Lord three times. And that's reaching forth into the covenant and saying, I know the covenant. I know what God has said. I know you're the Christ. And I know if I have faith, you're going to answer it. And he said, woman, great is your faith. To the Roman centurion who said, sir, you don't need to come to my house. I know this. I know how authority works. When you speak, I've been watching you. When you speak, it's going to happen because you're a man of authority. He said, I'm a man of authority. When I speak, these people go do. And I can tell when you speak, it's done. So, yes, Mary, very, very much. Yeah. He did say it, but he still did the miracle, didn't he? And the first miracle was a miracle of luxury. Don't ever be ashamed of having more than enough to help other people. Don't ever be ashamed. What did we learn from Glenn Beck and Brother Copeland coming together in Afghanistan? They were able to move 25,000 people or some crazy, outrageous number. It was huge. Thank God for people who have believed God for the abundance and used their faith just like a wrench, just like a combine, used their faith to combine the blessings of the Lord and then to hand them out everywhere you go in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, welcome, 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 welcome. We're glad that you're here. Anybody else have any more questions or anything on this? I did say Glenn Beck, Mary, or Kathy. Glenn Beck called Brother Kenneth Copeland when that whole Afghanistan thing happened and said, Brother Copeland, I would like to know if you would let me use your jet. That's pretty big. That's a really big request. To take somebody else's jet into a combat zone to rescue people's lives. And Brother Copeland said, not only am I going to give you my jet, I'm going to send $15 million with you. It's one of the most public, amazing miracles of faith that I've seen, and yet The God who sees in secret has rewarded them openly, both of them abundantly for it. In Jesus' mighty name. That was one of the first things I read. And when I saw he called his mother woman, I thought, why on earth would want to be like him? Well, I think, Brother Glenn Beck is a believer in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, no matter what anybody's ever said or he said about himself. He believes in the virgin birth. He believes in being filled with the Holy Spirit. He believes in the Word of God. So I don't know about the rest of that stuff, but him and Brother Copeland are very good friends. And Brother Gene, that we watch from time to time on Flashpoint, they're very good friends. And when Glenn said, I'm going to the Middle East and deal with that situation, Brother Copeland said, go, man, go. Go, man, go. He's a mighty man of God. Glenn Beck is a mighty man of God. That's why I keep saying to us, remember, guys, there's going to be somebody from every denomination in heaven. What you and I got to do every day is just say, thank God you're a believer and I'm a believer. Let's be believers together in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Mary, about that definition of the word woman, okay, I've never done a study of it, and I've said several times that I was going to do a study of it, find out really what that's all about. Find out what it's really all about, and maybe I'll get busy tonight and get it done. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, this is a good study. We're probably going to study it a few more times throughout this week because our theme for this year, God's theme for us this year is, I am coming quickly and my reward is with me. I have literally seen people walk away from the kingdom because a preacher actually said there was a reward. But we're not using a word that God himself didn't use. The word reward is used 54 times in the New King James Version. I think that more than establishes the principle that God wants us to see and know and understand in his holy word about rewards. But if you don't ever go study that, you won't know. I would like to ask somebody tonight, if you would, to go to YouTube and see if it's working. I'll give you a link here. Just give me a second. Because I've not seen one person show up tonight. And I'm just wondering if I got an issue there at all. Now, let's pray, and we'll close this session out and go into our communion, our time of communion, New Covenant worship. Father, in Jesus' name, we delight to do your will, O Lord. We delight to do your will. We delight to hear you say in our spirit, man, go do. And we go do it. And then we see many people brought to the kingdom. And courage come and hope come and faith come and peace come. Thank you that you're the God of abundance. Jesus didn't give one drop of his blood. He gave it all. Jesus gave his whole life. And when he came back, he gave us his righteousness that caused him to be able to come back from hell after he dropped sin and sickness and sorrow and disease. We choose to see you for who you are, in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us, Lord. I declare the eyes of our understanding, every one of us, be flooded with enlightenment. Not just a little dabble do us, but so much light in revelation that our lives change forever. And we close these days of the church out, charging our enemy, crushing him everywhere he goes. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray this according to your holy word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. The link did not work. YouTube is good. His blessings, wow, you guys are kicking it. His blessings are rewarding, aren't they though? God bless you, Dave, for that. It's fun learning to follow Jesus. Amen, Mary. I agree with that 100%. YouTube is good. And Mary said, your link will not work for me. Isn't that interesting? That's just very interesting, Mary. But just so everybody knows, that's the classic example of what this is all about right there. You can see it. Kathy said, I didn't use the link. All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate you guys going and doing that. I saw that you were there, and I see some. There's still one person there now. I've just been watching it all night. And hadn't noticed anybody there, but let's receive our communion elements together now. We do this every night. Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. He didn't say, now remember, only do this once, you know, three times a year, Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. He said, as often as you do this. That means Jesus has no problem with you and I doing this often. My deal is, as we started this, often has meant that we're going to do it every single day. Now, look at that. I thought I had my... There, there. What do you call the lady in authority... I think Mary was responsible for the provisions because of her position with the family. So that meant that Jesus was involved. Since Joseph was no longer around to be provider for the family, yet Mary was in authority over Jesus. Be careful saying that. Why did he ask us to do this? I missed what that is, Mary. I'm not sure if you're talking about Phyllis's post or if you're talking about communion. What this is to replace the Passover. So he had them do that once a year for the Day of Atonement. Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me, for... Because we do this, we proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work. Every time we do this, this is to remember the work that he has done for us. And why not remember it every day? I like that statement Gloria was saying this morning about bulldog faith. Bulldog bites onto it, and he doesn't let go till he gets it. Here we go. For those of you that might be new to us, this is our time of communion, the New Covenant worship, it's called. Here's how we do it. We're going to read the verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And then when that's finished, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. That's anybody that's here. It's also the prayer of rededication. No matter where you are in your walk with God, That prayer will make you right with God. If you've been a believer for many years, that prayer is just a prayer of faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. The more you pray it and mean it from your heart, the more it has effect in your life. Then when we're finished, I'll give about a minute's teaching. We'll bless the elements and we'll receive them at the end. That's our process. We welcome you to it. Remember, in the Bible, there is no place in the Bible that says you only certain people can take communion with certain people. If you are a member of the body of Christ because you have been reconciled to the Father, then anytime communion is taken, you should be able to, unless a religious person is in charge, you should be able to receive those elements from them, with them. And as I've said many times, I've taken it in many different churches, many different denominations. And I've been told in a few that I can't, but I never went back there again because that person didn't know the Bible, in my opinion. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Sister Phyllis, I'm going to talk about that when we're finished with communion. I like that thought. I receive from the Lord that which I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25. In the same manner after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Verse number 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That's the process. You examine yourself, and then you eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. God's perfect love is perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. The head, we're the body. You can't separate the head from the body. As he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear and trauma. It goes with it. And there is no fear, and there is no torment in love, in Jesus' mighty name. One of you could put the verses in for communion. We would appreciate that tonight. Now, here's how this works. In order to receive the communion elements, you must be born again. And verse 27 says, he who takes of this, drinks of this cup, eats of the bread or drinks of the cup in an unworthy manner, that means you would not be born again, then he's in danger of, guilty of the blood and the body of the Lord, and people die from that. And yet the reality is, as the church, my only place is to teach you to examine yourself, and then you're right with God. Ready? This is how you examine yourself. Lord, I know I need you in my life. Help. You're now worthy. You don't have to be concerned about it. The broken body and the blood of Jesus is very specifically for those who've sinned. And the church has said, if you've sinned, stay away. We're having communion. This is just for the holy. That's the spirit of religion talking when they say that. We're supposed to bring you to the church and show you how to find God. Ready? Pray this prayer with me, and you'll be ready to receive. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I need you in my life every day. And according to John 3:16, when I believe in you, you give me everlasting life, and I will not perish. And I thank you for it. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. And you rose again on the third day for me. Just keep praying. Put your hands out like we do and say, Jesus, I receive you into my life. All of your love. All of your mercy. All of your grace. All of your righteousness filling part of my life. I love it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen, amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer tonight, then you are in right standing with Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And you know what that means? That means now you're ready to receive the communion elements. You might say, Pastor, I could tell something's going on the inside. I'm going to tell you right now. Every time I make that statement, I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old. When I finally got born again and realized what's going on, I was 12 years old. And I am 59 today. That was 47 years ago. And I am still, when I say, I receive you into my life, you have that experience of God Almighty filling. I love it. When I say, I receive all of your righteousness, I can feel that glory of God, the righteousness of Jesus, just filling my whole life. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Now, the author and finisher of their faith, Jesus, just came in. Help me, Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. He just filled your life. And you might be like, I feel like I'm filled with light. You are. That's exactly what Jesus did. He just filled you with light. Where there was fear of because of sin, fear is there because of sin. Because sin produces death. That's why when you watch a horror movie, it fills you with such fear because you're fellowshipping with the arch enemy of our Father. And he's not of fear. I won't charge you for that. The Father just adopted you into the family, made you an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus. Now, your responsibility is to walk with God every day from now till he comes. Say it with me. Jesus, I choose to walk with you every day. He's going to help you get it done. He created the whole world. He can help you get to heaven. Let's receive our communion elements together. Make sure you send me an email and say, Pastor, I prayed the prayer today. Tell me the story about your first communion. Do it. I want to hear your story about your first communion with us, because it's always a good one. Hold our elements up. We'll bless them together. Pray this with me. I bless these elements and sanctify them for this time of communion with you, Jesus. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord. And by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, my will, and my emotions. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community that I live in and right here in this community of faith. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive his broken body, receive the life and healing that is in it, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. And now we lift up the cup of blessing for the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with you, my Father. By the blood of Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life forever. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new in my life. Pray it with me. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over my life and cannot be upon me or my family. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's receive the bloodshed. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, in Jesus' day, they took the communion. They sang a hymn. Let's sing What Can Wash Away My Sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Glory, 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 glory be to God on high. Glory be to God on high. Now, I want to talk about Sister Phyllis's comment a little bit. Those of you that received the communion and you're like, I got to go to bed, Pastor. Good night. We love you. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to sit here and let's just chew on what Sister Phyllis said a minute. What do you call the lady in authority? I'm not sure what that line means. Oh, you mean in charge of the wedding? Oh, like a wedding planner. Oh, I think Mary was responsible for the provisions because of her position with the family. Well, right. And if you never watched that video my mom recommended that one time about the Galilean wedding, I encourage you to do that. Anybody remember what that was? The title of that was? Anyways, that's what it talked about. Yeah, you're right, Phyllis, because only certain people would be allowed at that wedding. So that meant that Jesus was involved. Since Joseph was no longer around to be the provider for the family, Mary, authority over Jesus. I don't know what to do about that last line. But but I do understand what you're saying, yes. Yeah, because that would make sense, because why else would they have been invited? Mark Lowry was a comedian. He was the one saying it. Mark Lowry was a... Yeah, Mark Lowry has quite a take on Jesus. That's interesting. On the third day, this is John 2, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, mother, your concern, oh, there's the words right there, Phyllis. What does your concern have to do with me? But if she was the, wedding planner or whatever they call that lady, today they would call her what do you call them people that... You hire them and a caterer. They might call her a caterer today, but let's go look at that verse real quick. You guys don't mind just studying for another 5 minutes, do you?
Only 5 minutes?
wait, I'm in the wrong verse. Hold on just a second. Bible. And let's get to verse 4. Compare. What have I to do with you, What is it to me? This is not your business. I'm just looking at the different verse, chap, book, translations. Now, see, the one says, what does that concern us, dear lady? Yeah, this one says, what do I have to do with you? That's disrespectful, as we see it. And as I always say, I think this one's the best one. Y Jesús le dijo, mujer, que nos interesa esto a ti y a mí. Todavía no ha llegado mi hora. I think there's a deep meaning right there in the Spanish Bible. Well, that's a very interesting take, Sister Phyllis. Hang on just a second. Let's just look. I got two more Strongs to do. And so, cumulative, no. One more. Well, anyways. Well, all right. That was a good quick study. We did it right there in front of God and everybody. I didn't necessarily get anything more from it, but I like that idea that the New King James says, what does this concern, what does your concern have to do with me? About how his mother would have him picking up his teeth if he ever called her woman. But in the Hebrew, that word was surely a respectful way of speaking to her. Yeah, and, you know, that can be lost in translation, but the gist of it is this. This is not my time yet, but Jesus' mother said, whatever he says to do, do. So she's telling everybody. But see, it's like Phyllis is saying, if she was the coordinator, the chief caterer, whatever you call her, in charge of all of that, then she would even be in charge of those servants and say, now he's going to tell you something, now go do it. And they would do it. So, yeah. And why did Jesus do it? Because he's at a wedding and they ran out. There's just nobody got saved. Nobody got demon cast out of them. Nobody got healed. They're at a wedding and they ran out. And with that, we will say, may God richly bless you this evening. And we'll go to Jude. We'll go to the book of Jude and read our doxology. But you, beloved, Brother Rod, you got your Bible, you're reading it?
In a minute.
Just to keep the party going. I heard Dr. Winston say it in that video that we're watching, because he talks about it in there. He said, Jesus had every right to look at him and say, you guys have been partying for a week. It's time to go home. He didn't say that, though. Jude, verses 20 through 25. Are you getting it, Roger?
I'm trying to find the page faster.
All right. Just making sure. When you get it, just take off. I'll be quiet.
What was that again?
Jude. 20, verses 20 through 25. There's only one chapter.
Okay. I got a new Bible, and I don't have the...
It's the first book right before Revelation. And if it's too much, I can read it. I just like having other people read it.
Yeah. I got Revelation.
There you go. Just turn one page back from the beginning of Revelation. Did Jesus clarify why it was not his time? I've not seen that, Mary. But we're going to all go study it, and so we're going to see it.
Okay.
You ready?
The servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James.
Yeah, we're going to start reading at verse 20, though.
Oh, hold on for a second. Don't big chapter, though. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. For some have compassion, making a difference, and others save their fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The great amen.
The great amen. Let's see if Brother Dave hears this one. Woo! Dave and I are going to give war cries out to each other across the hall.
Yeah, whoop, whoop.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's it. That's all we got for tonight. Thanks for being here with us. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow morning, we pray for the body of Christ around the world. Tomorrow at noon, noon prayer time is designed to bless the body of Christ around the world. And if you have stories of people from around the world and how they're overcoming or something, a prayer request of friends or people around the world, make sure you share them with us. We'll be glad to pray for them, because Tuesdays are given to praying for the people around the world. Remember, don't stop. Don't stop praying for the Supreme Court. Let's be strong in that decision to overturn Roe versus Wade. And pray, and we declare, as we the people, that whoever leaked it, not only will they be wiped out, not only will they lose their job, but the Supreme Court justice had them in their office also will lose their job. And justice will be served in the United States of America. Until we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.
Y'all come back now, here.
You all come back now. You here. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.